Now over to the Queen Elizabeth Concert Hall at Stag Bottling on Lower Mouse Trouser for a concert of modern music.
Thank you. And for our next piece, we would like to give you an example of music concrete. Very hard music. For this, the orchestra will be considerably augmented, so in fact it's reinforced concrete. This avant-garde concerto, which is entirely free from the conventions of rhythm, melody, harmony, and music, will be completely spontaneous and improvised and made up on the spot, which explains why it's so awful. We call it free music because no one will pay to hear it. During the work, the musicians will play knives, forks, spoons, balloons, plastic wombats, and steam shovels. We're sorry about this, but they left their instruments on the bus. And now it gives me very little pleasure to introduce your conductor.
Hopefully it ain't me.
And now the auditorium is still and silent, which is quite understandable.
They've all gone out.
And here we go with the Wunderschau.
Each, I'm sorry, I'll be back.
For the avant-garde. Now for the avant-a-clue. Yes, it's the kitchen syncopation of the Angus Prune Tune, which brings to the microphone once again the amazing Timbrook Taylor, John Cleese, David Hatch, Joe Kendall, and Melody. And here is the voice of the most avant-garde of them all.
I want another lovely slice of rhubarb. Oh, no! It's I'm sorry, I'll read that again! Again!
My lecture on crime prevention this evening will be very short. Somebody's stolen my notes. I think I can remember a few things. Doors, very important. And windows, also very important. Shut them or something. No, bolt them. No, don't bolt them. Nail 5-inch planks over them. All of them. That'll keep them out. And it'll keep you in so that you can't do any crime either. What else was? Oh, yes, I brought along my bagpipes. I mean, my team of experts who will play Over the Sea to Sky. Who will tell you about George. No, life. Life. Crime. Crime. Now, first of all, there's Inspector Lim from the Police Flying Squad Training Centre, where he trains police to fly.
Yes, well, what I want to show you particularly is this steel-proof handbag, which is fitted with warning devices that warn you if it's being stolen. For instance, if you are beaten on the head and the bag is snatched off you and you don't notice, this alarm gong will sound. The thief then start to run, the vibration will cause green dye to come spurting out. And the alarm trumpet will sound. If the thief doesn't stop and surrender, a tape recording in the base of the handbag will play recordings of police sirens. If this fails to stop him, there is a recorded message.
This is Police Constable Henry Figleaf. You are a criminal, and you are advised to give yourself up. Failure to comply with these regulations may result in prosecution. This is Police Constable Henry Figleaf.
He then has 2 minutes to give himself up before the musical handcuffs come out of the handle and snap over his wrist. A minute before the machine gun starts. And then another minute before everything starts up prior to the final climax. beauty of it is, it's so simple.
Now, a word about safes. Unsafe. Keep your money instead in bundles of fibres stuffed in old mattresses. In the event of a serious emergency, do call the police immediately by dialing 999. If the number is engaged, or if they're out, there's a little cafe round the corner that takes messages for them. If the cafe is closed, a 58 bus takes you to New Scotland Yard, and you can usually see them within about a week. And finally, remember, if you look after crime prevention, it gives us a lot more chance to deal with the serious things, like traffic and football matches and dead mice.
Excuse me, is the face healer ready?
Yeah, go on in.
I hear the voice of the Great Spirit. Come unto me, Great One. O Mighty One. O Eternal One. I'm one, are you? Involve me in your will. Give me the gift of healing and grant unto me the great comfort of the National Health Service. Oh, come in, Mrs. Bucket. I was just warming up. Now then, if you'd just like to take off all your clothes.
Does it help?
It helps me, Mrs. Bucket. Now then, I'm going to invocate the Great Spirit, and he'll come down to me, possibly in the likeness of a bowl, or in the lift if it's working. And then I'm going to lay hands on the affected area. What exactly is the trouble?
Chest cough.
Oh, good. Who's a lucky action? Great and eternally, fantastically magic oracle spirits, come down amongst me. And walk amongst me, imbuing me with your marvellous spirit of healing. And whilst you're at it, if you've got anything for the 3:30, I'll be quite
interested. Doctor, I felt it.
What did you feel?
A kind of warm pressure on my shoulder.
Yes.
And a kind of singing in my ears.
Oh, dear, it's my budgie. Damn, Rover.
Doctor, how will I know when I'm being cured?
You'll feel your own body aflame and your spirit lifted up. And a deep, powerful, swirling, masterful voice will tell you you are well.
Who will that be?
Me. Come upon me, oh, spirit. Come and make eyes at me down at the... No. Come down.
Hello.
I've got a feeling he's not coming. Anyway, I feel quite sure in my own mind that you've got hay fever.
Well, I'd like a second opinion.
Certainly, you've broken your leg. That's £5 for the hay fever or 14 and 6 for the broken leg.
I think I'll take the hay fever, Doctor.
Right, well, the nurse will give it you on the way out. Oh, and just come back if you want it cured. I want this, bud! I'll get my hands on you, Doctor!
I'm very busy. Now, what can I do for you?
Well,
speak up. I'm very busy. I'm a very busy man, you know. I'm awfully busy. I'm fantastically busy. Busy, busy, busy I go. Now, what do you want?
Well, I want to buy a house.
Ah, well, you've come to the right place. I sell them.
Oh.
I'm an estate agent, you know. Okay. Says so on my door. Do you see my door?
No.
Why not? Don't you like my door? Aren't they good enough for you? I'm very busy, you know. I don't have to deal with idiots who don't like my doors. What sort of a house do you want anyway?
Three stories.
Three stories?
Yeah.
Three stories? Don't you know there's a housing shortage? You'll have to have a bungalow.
I don't like bungalows.
I don't like bungalows either, but somebody's got to live in them. Besides, they're very useful for crippled grandmothers.
I don't have a crippled grandmother.
You don't have a crippled grandmother?
No.
All right, I'll sell you one. No, it's all right. I'll give it to you. No extra charge. Goes with the bungalow.
Thank
now, how many children do you have? Four, five?
None.
None? What's the matter with you? Got problems?
No.
All right. It's all right. I'm not prejudiced.
If you don't mind, I'd like a swimming pool with my house.
Bungalow?
Yeah, with my bungalow. I want a swimming pool.
Can you swim?
No.
No swimming pool.
I'll learn.
I'm sorry, I don't teach swimming. I'm much too busy.
But I've always wanted a house. I mean, a bungalow with a swimming pool.
We'll compromise. I'll give you a fish pond.
I don't like fish.
What's the matter with you? You don't like fish, you don't like children, you're not married, and you don't have a crippled grandmother.
I like dogs.
I hate dogs. Now, where do you want to live?
Surrey.
Gloucester's very similar.
I don't want to live in Gloucester.
All right, all right. So you don't want to live in Gloucester. You don't want to live in my nice little bungalow in Gloucester. That's all right. In Worcester anyway. You'll be all right there. Now, do you like farming?
No.
You're right. It's hard work. It's badly paid, but you'll get used to it. Now then, you don't want a bathroom.
I don't want a bathroom.
Oh, good. That makes it easier. Well, then, let's see what we can do for you. Want a bungalow for you and a crippled grandmother. No bathroom with a fish pond very close to your new farming job in Worcester. Well, there's a coincidence. I've got just the thing. 10,000. Take it or leave it.
No. I won't be pushed around. I'm going away from here and I'm never coming back.
Where are you going to?
Long way.
A very long way?
Yes.
A very, very long way? Well, why didn't you tell me? I've got a bungalow in Australia. Nice room, fish pond. Take you out in a
moment. Hail Caesar! Hail Caesar! Hail Caesar!
Switzerland.
Come back with us now to meet that romantic hero of the days of yore, champion of the poor, scourge of the oppressors, master of the crossbow. Yes, it's none other than...
Yours adventure, yours romance. Up to the west, into the sunset, in a cloud of dust, and amidst the swirl of clattering hooves, the legendary hero of the west rides again. It's the Lone Ranger! Oh, I mean William Tell, sorry!
Craggy peak among the range of mountains, the brood over little alpine village of Randorf, stands a man. His motionless figure, braced in defiance against the elements, is silhouetted against the tumultuous banks of clouds that hang menacingly above this pastoral scene, as if they would discharge their gloom like rain upon the sleeping countryside beneath. And now, here is a late football result. Totteridge and Whetstone Academicals 3. Totteridge and Whetstone Academicals 3. I'm sorry, I'll read that again. Totteridge and Whetstone Academicals 4. Meanwhile, back in the Alps...
Why are they called Alps?
Because when people fall off them, they cry...
Alps!
No? Anyway, back in them.
Cottage in the village of Braundorf, a maiden sits by the window.
Ah!
By the front door. Next door sits little Helga, Little Helga is well bred and sits by the great fire that blazes merrily in the hearth.
She's the toast of the town.
But suddenly her reverie is broken as she hears a noise outside the window.
Helga.
You don't look much like beautiful Helga to me. Oh, I don't know her.
That is, no. I am Wilhelm Tell.
Wilhelm, I hardly recognized you in that false beard.
It's not a false beard.
Oh, sorry.
It's a bicycle.
That's not a funny place for a bicycle.
You should see where I've got my false beard.
William! William, it is dangerous to you here. If anyone were to see you, you might be arrested.
Why so?
I've just seen where you brought the false beard.
You're right. I am in danger here. Do you mind if I come in for a bit?
But before Fair Helga could reply, she heard the noise of her father's feet coming downstairs.
Come back, please!
Quick as a flash, William Tell sprang onto his false beard and pedaled furiously away.
How did he manage to steer it?
He had a handlebar to start.
However, as William pedaled round the corner in the road...
Halt! Who goes there? Wait a tick, I recognize that face. It's William Tell. Seize him, man!
Wait! Who are you? Are you Count Otto von der Lust, the wicked landburger who owns all the land hereabouts?
No, I own all the cheese hereabouts.
Then you must be the cheese.
Incidentally, you may be interested to know that Switzerland is particularly noted for its dairy produce and its watches.
Cheeseburger. You ruined that one, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
But, yes. Who are you?
I am Dermot Staveaker, the singing baboon, playing the part of the wicked landburger Otto von der Lust.
At last, I have you in my power.
In the confusion that followed, William Tell made good his escape, and springing onto a banana skin, he slipped away into the shadow. That night, in a little tavern, the citizens of Braundorf met to voice their discontent.
Discontent.
Voice.
Hello, citizens! We're all met here in the old dog and party to go-go to plan our revolution against the wicked landburger.
Voice.
Landlord, fill our glasses! Drink up, lads! And by midnight, we'll be revolting!
Would anybody like a nice slice of fruit pie?
I'd love a bit. But I'll have some pie first. Wait a tick, though. There's something moving inside this pie.
There's somebody coming out.
Good heavens,
I learned it's me, William Tell.
William Tell? But what's he doing in a fruit pie?
Tim always gets the plum part.
Listen to me. I will be your leader. Now listen. Here is my plan.
What is he talking about?
I don't know. Something about Fritz.
The goat herd.
No, he wasn't listening.
The cow herd?
Well, if it did, it didn't laugh.
It didn't moo either.
Well, no moody good mood.
Well, not very amusing.
Open up in there! What's that? The sound of music. That is quite enough of those jokes.
Yes, that is the end of the move.
Quick, lad! Hide up the chimney!
Open up!
All right, Carter, let him in! Good evening, madam. I am the chimney sweep. I'll just put me brush up here and... you don't often get yodeling like that nowadays. All right, I surrender. I'm coming out. William Tell, I thought as much. Tonight you will lie in a dungeon cell. Pardon me. Farewell, Helga. We may never meet again.
You don't mean...
Oh, not until you've had your nose fixed.
That night, as William Tell languished in his lonely dungeon cell...
Go away, I'm languishing. Languish.
What's your language?
Hello. What's all this then?
It is Marshal Wilkins.
Yes. I am the jailer in charge of these miserable onions. I'm in dungeons.
Oh, jailer, you're so handsome and kind. Please open the door and let Billy Hellam escape.
Oh, no, we had a big escape last week. The prisoners all caught measles, and they all broke out into rabbits.
You mean rash?
Oh, yeah. I don't know what made me say rabbits. I must have rabbits on the brain.
Why so?
Because at a distance, they look like earth. Anyway, you must come along with me to the marketplace. The Landburger himself has organized a competition for you.
A competition?
Oh, goodness.
Bring the prisoner forward. Bring the prisoner forward.
Bring the prisoner forward.
Bring the prisoner forward.
Bring the prisoner.
Oh, that's me. Aha, William Tell. Now is your chance to prove yourself as an archer.
Wait.
Who are you?
I'm Beauchef.
Beauchef?
Yes, Beauchef for the French Foreign Legion. And I hate it, I hate it, I hate it, yeah. Oh, I could spit.
What was that?
That was a crossbow.
A crossbow? A crossbow? What luck, I am master of that weapon. If I prove myself with a crossbow, Landburger, will you let me go free?
I thought you'd never ask. Yes, you may go free if you can shoot this apple off the head of your son.
But I haven't got a
fun. That's all right, I haven't got an apple.
But you won't trust me enough to let me shoot an apple off their head.
Any volunteers?
I'll volunteer, dear boy.
Aunt Constance, will you really go through with this?
But of course, dear boy. We have the publicity.
But what can we use instead of the apple?
Excuse me, Lady Constance.
For the cold grimling, climb onto my head, grimling.
Oh, not again, madam. I'm afraid of heights, you know that.
And so, in the marketplace of Browndorf, the crowd held their breath as the legendary William Tell took careful aim with his crossbow.
Sorry, Auntie.
Nothing, Mary Lou. Well, I guess I better be moseying along, honey, child. I'll be seeing you. Ha ha, Silver!
Who was that masked man anyway?
I don't know, but he's certainly taught me a lesson. I'd be very wicked and cruel taking all your money. But from now on, there'll be no more taxes in Brandor. You'll have to travel by bus.
Angus Prune Tune brings to an end another edition of I'm Sorry I'll Read It Again, the Go-Go Show on the Corporation Station. The voices you heard were those of I.T. Briddock, Simbrook Taylor, John Cleese, David Hatch, Joe Kemp and Bilotti. The scripts were by Graham Garden, Eric Idle and Bilotti. The songs were by Bilotti, arrangements by Leon Cohen, and the rest of the music was provided and played by Dave Lee and his group. Yes. The show was produced by H.J.B. of the BBC, and that's it till next week. Tune into Prune then to hear John Wigwam Cleese say,
"Oh, no, it's the Wonder Show!"
My name is Angus Prune, and I always listen to I'm Sorry I'll Read That Again.
You go!
My name is Angus Prune, and I never read that.
I'm Sorry I'll Read That Again.
You know why? I spend my breath and I have a good life, cause it's a tune is named after me.
How can
I? My name is Angus Prune, and my tune is called
I-S-I-R-T-A. I'm Sorry I'll Read That.
So, Radio Prune is born.
Congratulations, it's a prune.
Radio Prune is free radio without inhibitions or censorship, dedicating itself to the promotion of radicalism, liberalism, anti-racialism, and dirty jokes. We will be dedicating many broadcasts to the right to free speech, bringing together famous politicians, moralists, and clergymen to discuss controversial issues and tell dirty jokes. Weathermen will be encouraged to illustrate their weather forecast by their costumes. If the weather is to be sunny, they will wear pig bladder hats. If it is rainy, they will wear waterproof pig bladder hats. If frost is expected, they will carry machine guns. But from now on, every program will be full frontal. We believe that the full beauty of the human body is something everyone should be able to listen to whenever they wish. With this in mind, amongst our forthcoming presentations will be in the morning, 8 o'clock nude, and then nude bulletins every half hour. This will be followed by Lift Up Your Skirt and Drop Gear with John Peel. Naturally, all these programs will be totally uncensored.
No, you can't do that, Director General speaking. I'm afraid your programs will have to be reviewed by our BBC censorship committees. Don't be frightened of them. They're just a small cross-section of quite average retired colonels, Puritans, saints, nuns, and, of course, loonies. I've already told them you're taking over, so they're probably discussing it right now. If you turn to the next sketch, we can probably hear them.
Have naked men in our day. When we used to take our clothes off, we were fully dressed underneath. I used to wear a dinner jacket under my vest.
And when I took my underpants off...
Yes.
Nothing, just when I took my underpants off.
Of course, in our day, you'd never catch young ladies naked.
No, too damn fast. Remember?
Wait a minute. Shouldn't we be censoring something? Yes, there we should. The first script of this new radio prune thing. Let's have a read of it. Oh! Oh! Oh, look at this. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, oh, it's very good, isn't it? Eh?
Now tuned to Pooh, unless you switched off, in which case, to you.
Radio Prune is now the number one radio station called Radio Prune. Even the press have begun to recognize it.
And we have received reviews in some extremely high-class intellectual journals, the names of which we're not allowed to mention, and you lot are too common to know about anyway. The radio critic of the... Right.
I'm sorry I'll read that again. Successfully affects the gonimorphia of visibility, entwining within its labyrinth almost Swissian and cutie-breasted persiflage, owing not a little to breast, perhaps, a milk on the semantic wordplay that surely harkens back to the verbum ambiguum of the pathetic badinage in Gawain and the Green Knight, and thus creates a veritable charisma of Gilbertian calisthenics. And I particularly like the Nickers joke.
And Sunday newspaper critic had a good word for us.
Filthy!
Dear Radio Croon, I would like to complain about your program, so please broadcast something distasteful. I shall not be happy until I have taken offense. And a gate in a small potting shed. Yours truly, Colonel Walter Wall Carpeting, Mrs. O.B.E.
All right, then. Radio Prune is not expensive, always cheap and most offensive.
Boom. That was offensive. I'm going to write to the Queen. Your Most Royal Majesty, that last item made me ashamed to be a member of the British Commonwealth. So I'm sending you back my OBE. Also, my Order of the Garter, which needs new elastic. In exchange, if you have any George Crosses left, please send me half a dozen with pink ribbons. And my wife would like a pair of your sensible shoes.
Okay, now we have an inoffensive item. Here is a warning to all motorists on the M1. Traveling from Birmingham to London,
on the northbound carriageway. And now, here is a weather report.
Howdy, 7 out of 10, must try harder.
And there you have Shades On. I'm sorry, I'll read that again from BBC Radio in 1973. Heard on your wireless today in 1985 on Labor Day weekend with Comedy Classics from CBC Radio. I'm Roger Abbott.
And I'm Don Ferguson.